Hello and welcome to another online Awaken sermon. I hope you're all doing well, staying healthy, staying sane. It's a beautiful spring afternoon, and I just want to start by saying I have thoroughly enjoyed seeing so many of you online this past week on our online Zoom community groups. It has been such a blast just catching up, seeing how you're all doing. If you're like me, you've been staying at home quite a bit, so you haven't really been getting out, seeing that many people. So just going online, seeing some friendly, familiar faces has been so life-giving for me. And if you haven't been on any of those groups, man, you're missing out. But this week, we'll have three more groups: Sunday at 11 a.m., Wednesday at noon, and Thursday at 7. So I would love to have you join us for one of those groups. Stop by, even if it's only for a few moments. I would love to say hi. Make sure that you're still surviving. Now today, for this sermon, I thought what I would do is sort of a follow-up to last week's sermon. Pretty much as soon as I had finished with the sermon last week, I had the realization that there was going to have to be a second part to the sermon. And I was putting my son to sleep that night, and I had all these thoughts, all these ideas flooding my mind. When I was finished, I ran downstairs, grabbed a notebook, grabbed a pen, started putting down an outline, and here we are. Today's sermon is called Fear. Last week, I talked about giving yourself permission to feel all the different emotions and the different feelings that are arising within you, rather than numbing them or avoiding them, suppressing them, or denying them. Enter fully into them. It's okay, however you find yourself feeling right now, it's totally normal. There is no normal, I guess you could say at this point. And if we're being honest, there's all sorts of different things that we're feeling. We all have our own particular responses to what's happening in this moment. And it's all okay. It's all perfectly valid. And the invitation of the moment is to enter into all of it. Not to only keep the good and push aside the uncomfortable, but to allow yourself to feel all of it and to entrust it all to God. Now, I talked last week about embracing our fears and our anxieties, but I can't leave you there. We have to talk about, well, how do we embrace them, but also move through them in a way that brings us to a place of peace and hope and comfort? Because I don't believe that God wants to leave us in our fears, being overwhelmed or paralyzed by the things that we're afraid of. But rather, I believe that God wants to help move us through those fears and those anxieties so that we can reach the other side and receive the peace and the comfort and the hope that God desires for all of us. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, you'll know that one of the most repeated, I'm going to say, invitations of the Bible is do not fear or fear not. I believe this is an invitation that God has given, and it shows up again and again and again. Some people have actually went through and they've counted, well, how many times does this invitation show up? And the number they come up with is 365, which essentially is one for every single day of the year. Now, why does this invitation come up again and again? Why do we find it all throughout the pages of Scripture? I think it's because being afraid, or fear, it's part of the human experience. It's normal. We all go through things in life that are a bit scary, that are uncomfortable, times that are uncertain, and we're fearful as to what will happen next. How will things change? Will things ever be the same? How will I live with this person gone? How will I live with that no longer in my life? And obviously, during these times right now that we're living in, there's a whole lot of uncertainty. There's a whole lot of fear. And I think that's a valid, normal response to what we're going through. This past week, I was talking to one of my friends, and he's a small business owner down in southern Jersey. And because his business has been shut down right now, he doesn't have any cash flow. And he's had to lay off 15 employees. He tells me that decision, having to lay these 15 people off, has been haunting him each day since he's had to do it. He has all these fears about, well, what is going to happen to these employees of mine, these people that I have cared for, these people that I have given a job to over the past months and years? What will happen to them? Will they be able to find another job? Will they still be able to provide for their families? He tells me he has all these fears about what is going to happen to the people that he has grown to love over the past years. And then what about the employees, the people who have been laid off? And they're not alone in this. A job report recently came out. The unemployment number has skyrocketed. We're at an all-time high right now. Over 3 million people claiming unemployment. Think about the fears that are going through their minds right now. Will the job market ever change? When will it start to improve? Is it going to be a couple of weeks? Will it be months? Will it be years from now? When will I be able to secure another job? And what am I going to do in the meantime? How will I be able to provide for my family? How am I still going to be able to put food on the table, as well as all the other basic things that we need to survive and keep us going? Those fears are valid. They're normal. They're what you would expect in those circumstances. And then I was speaking to someone last Friday night. His father, his 84-year-old father, came down with a pretty high fever, and he was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance. So he had all these fears about all that was happening in that moment. Is my dad going to be okay? Obviously, he's worried that his father had the coronavirus. Obviously worried because he's in the vulnerable population. Not being able to go visit him in the hospital, he has a fear of, well, have I seen my dad for the last time? Will I ever be able to see my father again? Again, these are perfectly normal, valid fears. And then what about the fears that all of you on the front lines right now are experiencing? All the healthcare workers, the nurses, doctors, those who are providing essential services for people, some who have actually been confirmed to have the coronavirus. They have all these fears right now. Will I catch the virus? And if I do, what's that going to mean for me? Am I going to get really, really sick? Will I pass it on to other loved ones? Will I pass it on to the people that live in my house? Will I pass it on to others that I just come in contact with in a store, or that I'm passing by in the hallways of work? Yeah, there's lots of fears because there's lots of uncertainties and anxieties at the moment. It's normal. It's human. It's okay. And the invitation that God offers us is to acknowledge all of them, to admit, yeah, they're there. There was a slogan in the 90s, I believe, no fear. And I used to buy up all these no fear shirts. Anyone else? You remember those shirts? What that slogan is communicating is having fear is a bad thing. That having fear, in a way, it makes you vulnerable. And that living with no fear means that you're to be invincible. That you're to be not bothered or swayed by the things that happen in life. I don't think that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I don't think being a follower of Jesus means that you deny your fears, that you appear invincible, like you have this armor around you that no matter what happens in life, you're totally fine. You're not bothered by it. You can just keep soldiering on. I think the Christian faith too often encourages this way of thinking. Our culture encourages this way of thinking. It's an American way of being, that we won't let anything bother us. We won't show others that we even have an ounce of fear. But I think being a follower of Jesus is entering into those fears, embracing them, admitting, yeah, they're there. Here's what I'm going through, and here's what I'm thinking. Because the only way for us to actually move beyond those fears and to not be overwhelmed or not be paralyzed by them is to just be honest about them and to give them up to God. See, that's the invitation of the moment. It's to take everything that we're feeling, allow it to come up, allow ourselves to feel it, and then to entrust it to God. There's this great passage in the Bible, in the book of Philippians chapter 4. And Philippians is a book written by the Apostle Paul. And when he writes Philippians, he's writing to a church community in the city of Philippi. And Paul's writing from jail. And he says this, which if you're in jail, you have many, many different reasons to be anxious. Many, many different reasons to not have joy. Many different reasons to not have any hope, to have fear about what will they do to me? What will happen? Will I ever be released from here again? And here's what Paul says. Chapter 4, this is verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anyone else need a little more peace these days? Anyone else need a little more comfort? A little more hope? Yeah. Yeah, I know I do. I know I could use a little more peace in these unsettling times. And what's interesting here is the same thing that we saw last week. The way to peace is not by pushing it all down. It's not by numbing it. But the way to peace is by presenting it all. It's through prayer. It's through honesty. It's by acknowledging, this is causing me anxiety. This is causing me discomfort. What I'm feeling right now, it's pretty uncomfortable. It's by being honest about all of it, about dragging it all up, feeling it, and then entrusting it to someone else. It's the same thing that Paul says here. You want the peace that transcends understanding, the peace that you can't explain, a peace that you can feel deep in your heart, a peace that can ground you for these wavering times? Well, it starts by bringing it all to the surface. And here's the thing about what Paul is saying here. I don't know about you, but I've had moments in life. I still have moments in life. I have moments this week, things that we're experiencing right now, that they're not bringing me peace. And I pray to God, I cry out, I'm honest about them. And for a few moments, a few hours, things seem to calm down a bit. I feel a bit better. But then the wave starts to surge again. And I feel the fear, the anxiety start to creep up again. So I have to offer these fears to God once again. Or I need to just speak them out loud. I need to say, this is what I'm going through. And then they subside again, but then they come up again. The thing about getting to peace, it's not you offer them, you pray a prayer, and then boom, you're instantaneously brought to peace. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it does, but other times it takes a while. Sometimes I know people who have prayed for peace for weeks, for months, for years, and it's almost as if the dial ever so slowly begins to move them closer to peace. Getting to a place of less or no anxiety and peace, it takes time. It takes time. So in these unsettling times, give yourself grace. Be loving to yourself. Be patient with yourself. Continue to just be honest. This is where I am. This is where I'm at. And it's okay how I'm feeling. Now, I think there's something else going on right now as well with all the fears that we're feeling. And a couple of years back, a few years back actually, when Princess Diana died, many people commented on this overwhelming outpouring of grief that was seen by people all around the world. People looked at it and they were confused by it. There were people who had no personal connection to Princess Diana who were in this immense state of grief. Thousands and thousands of flowers were given for her funeral. People were on the streets bawling their eyes out. There was this sense of grief that was felt all throughout England, but throughout all different parts of the world. And some people looked at this and they asked, well, why is this happening? Why is there such an overflow of grief right now? And a few people came to the conclusion that the death of Princess Diana was simply acting as a release valve. That people had held on to grief for so long. They were carrying it around with them. And they really had no way in which they could release it. They had no way for them to process the grief that they were holding on to. There was no way for them to move through it ever. They weren't allowing themselves to actually move through it. And so when something like the death of Princess Diana came about, it's almost as if it gave people permission to be okay with their grief. And all the things that they had buried, all the things that had been left ungrieved, were now coming to the surface, and people felt as if it was okay to let those emotions come to the surface. See, I wonder if that's a little bit of what's going on right now in our world. See, for many of us, we carry our fears with us wherever we go. Some of us are aware of the fears we carry with us, while there's other fears that we don't even realize they're there. We're dragging them behind us, but we actually have no idea that they're following behind wherever we go. And so in a moment like this, when the intensity is sort of cranked up a bit, it's almost as if all that's been lying under the surface for a period of time, well, it's now rising up a little bit more. So the things that we've become used to, or the things that we continue to numb and to bury and to suppress, well, now they're rising up and they have nowhere to go. Many of us are slowing down. We're moving at a much slower pace than normal. The things that we're used to doing, the things that allow us to numb and bury and suppress, well, we're not able to do those things anymore. Or for some of us, it's almost as if what we can normally do during our lives in the normal day-to-day, it's like a game of whack-a-mole. We're in the first level, everything is okay. It's moving slow enough, and you're able to just hit that mole back down. But then, or an alligator, depending on which arcade version you've played before, the first level, everything is great. Then you get to the second level, and the moles or the alligators, they come up a little faster. And for the most part, you're able to hit most of them before they go back down underground. But then, as you keep progressing through the game, the moles, the alligators, the gophers, whatever they happen to be, they start moving a little faster. Or maybe they're clowns, too. I've seen the ones with clowns. But they start moving a little faster. More of them start popping up, and you're no longer able to keep up with the pace or the intensity of the game. See, I wonder if that's what's happening right now. If the intensity of our feelings, the intensity of our fears and our anxieties, if they're becoming so great that we're no longer able to keep them buried. And so now we're forced to actually have to deal with them. Our son Reese is just about 3 years old. And every now and again, he'll cry out to us in the middle of the night, or he'll come running around from another room, normally a room where it's pretty dark, and he'll come running into the room where we are, and he'll say to us, "Mommy, Daddy, I'm afraid." Now, the next question that we ask him when he tells us this is, "Reese, what are you afraid of?" And he'll go on and he'll tell us, well, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of this or that, whatever it happens to be. See, fear is a very vague term. Fear by itself is not very helpful. When Reese answers the question, when he tells us what he's afraid of, then we can start dealing with it. We can start helping him to be less afraid. So if he tells us, well, I'm afraid of the dark. If it's in his bedroom in the middle of the night, great. We can get him a nightlight. Or if he's in a room by himself, we can go and we can turn the light on. If he tells us he's afraid because he's heard some weird noise, well, then we can explain to him, well, Reese, the noise you heard, that was just the heat coming on. Or if he tells us he's afraid of the wolf, that one's a little trickier. It's hard to continue to tell him, well, hey, the wolf is just pretend. There's no real wolf. The wolf that you saw at Home Depot during the time of Halloween is not real. We're still working on that one. We're hoping the next 3 to 4 years we'll get through that one together. But yeah, these fears, they take time. Some of them, they're easy to address. Turn a light switch on. Other ones, like the wolf, yeah, it's taken us 2 years and we're still working on it. But the first way to begin moving through our fears is to name exactly what they are. Fear, a vague term. When you say, I'm feeling fearful, I'm afraid, what is it that you're afraid of? You have to name it. You have to get specific with it. You have to be able to say, this is what is causing me fear. Because once you've done that, first off, it's almost like you've taken all of its power away. Because it's no longer nameless. You now know exactly what you're dealing with. But then it also helps you begin to process it, to work through it in a healthy way. I don't know what fears might be rising up within you right now. I know for many people, we're being forced to confront our fear of death, or our fear of losing a loved one, our fear of getting sick, our fears of not being in control. I heard from psychologists, and Ted actually confirmed this for me this week, that the reason why so many people are stocking up on toilet paper, paper towels, and all these other grocery items is because we feel out of control right now. And so when we feel out of control, we try to do something to make us feel like we're more in control. And so one of the things that we go and do is we stockpile things because it makes us feel like at least we're in control of this. Even if everything else is spinning out of control, even if everything else is uncertain and we don't know where it's going, where it's heading, well, at least I can control this. So I don't know what fears are coming up to the surface for you during this time. I know for me, last week I shared a story about some of the fears that were rising up for me as a pastor and as a leader of a church. And let me tell you, yeah, those fears are real. Those fears are real. And as we've gone through this time of uncertainty, this time of unsettledness, more things have been popping up for me. More things have been rising up. And I have an option. I can push them down and look over here and run away, or I can stare them in the face. I can allow them to rise up. I can feel them. I can name them. I can acknowledge them. And then I can begin to mine them for what they have to teach me. Because all of our fears have something to teach us. There's something we can learn from all of it. This time of disruption, it's not easy for any of us. About 2 years ago, I had my own period of disruption that was thrown on me. This time when, right after Reese was born, life was a chaotic mess. And I just couldn't go on any longer. And it was one of, if not the most difficult time in my life. I look back on it now, and I learned so much from it. There was so many things that disruption taught me. And I was doing the math. I think it was about 5 or 6 months after Reese was born when everything hit the fan. Well, we're about 5 or 6 months into when Kit was born, and I'm still here. I've learned from that past time. Everything's not perfect. There's still things that I wish were different than how they are now. There's still areas of my life that where I wish I wasn't as anxious. But I'm making progress. I'm moving forward in the things that I'm learning. They're helping me be a healthier, more grounded person. Yes, this is a time of disruption. It's a time of massive upheaval. It's a time in which many of us are feeling extremely uncomfortable, and it's valid. It's normal. Some of you are dealing with things that I can't even imagine. Some of you you're getting news about loved ones, family, friends that are sick. Some of you are forced to be out there in the midst of everything that's going on. You don't have the comfort of just staying in the safety of your own home. It's a disruption. It's causing fear. The invitation of this moment is to take it all, to feel it, and then entrust it all to God. With prayer and petition, present it to God. And then, over time, however long that might take, experience the peace and the comfort of Christ. I've been watching Governor Cuomo's news conferences each day, and I have absolutely loved the way that he's been dealing with this situation. One of the things that I've loved about what he's been doing has been his focus on the mental aspect of what we're going through. He's been saying we have to deal with the health part, we'll have to deal with the economic part and how much this has hurt our economy. But he says we can't neglect the mental part, the mental health part of what we're all going through. So last Saturday, he put a call out asking for any mental health workers to come forward and to volunteer their services. He says the longer that this goes on, more and more people are going to feel really isolated. Their grief is going to come up. There's going to be all sorts of different things that they're going to be feeling, and they're not going to have anyone that they can talk to about what they're going through. And so he asked for professional mental health specialists to volunteer their time to be able to talk to people whenever they start feeling whatever they happen to be feeling, so that they don't have to be alone, so that there can be people who can help walk them through what they're feeling in their lives. That was about a week ago. This morning in his news conference, he said up until this point, there have been more than 10,000 mental health professionals who came forward to volunteer their services. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. That's us working together. That's us offering the best of what we have to offer for each other. That's us saying we don't want anyone to be left behind. We don't want anyone to suffer in silence. We don't want anyone to have this time be a time that completely wrecks their life. That's people coming forward saying, we want to help people move through their fears, their anxieties, their grief, their uncomfortable feelings in healthy ways. We want to help people process everything that we're going through. Yeah, that's the invitation of the moment. It's to take what's coming up, to be honest about it, to feel it, to bring others into it, to bring God into it, and then to bring others into it so that we can move through it in a healthy, life-giving way. See, I think this invitation, do not fear, fear not, it's not for God's benefit, it's for our benefit. The thing that God desires most for your life, it's the same thing that you desire for your life. That you would be a centered, grounded person. That you would be someone who is able to experience all the depth that your one beautiful life has to offer. See, too often what happens is fear we allow it to paralyze our lives. We allow it to overwhelm us. We allow it to bring us down. And this happens when we just let it sit there, when we just let it be there with us, somewhere under the surface. We're not even aware of what it's doing, but it's taking us away from the best of what our lives have to offer. God wants us to experience the depth and the texture of life. God wants us to experience the best of what we have to offer. The only way to get there is by naming it, acknowledging it all, presenting it, bringing it to the surface, not being ashamed of it, not thinking, well, I should be different than this. I should be handling things differently. Look at her. She's handling things so well. Comparing never helps anyone. You're you. You're not her. You're not him. What you're feeling, it's particular to you. You don't know what they're experiencing. You don't know what their particular situation is. The only way to get to the place where you can experience all the peace that God desires for you is by being honest with it, saying, this is where I am, and where I am is okay. So if that's you, and you're feeling overwhelmed right now, you're feeling extra anxious, if you've tried praying, presenting it to God, you've tried talking through it with someone else, maybe for you, talking to one of these mental health specialists would be really, really helpful. So I'm going to put the number that Governor Cuomo provided. I'll put it down in the YouTube video. And if that's you, I just want to encourage you, pick up the phone. If you're feeling extremely isolated, if you're feeling that there's so much rising up right now, I would love to talk with you. But you can also talk to any of these thousands of professionals who have said, we want to be there for you. And my prayer is that as you enter into it, that you truly would find the peace and the hope and the comfort that God promises, even if it takes some time. So God, we come to you today, and God, we want to enter into all of how we're feeling. God, we want to be a people who, like Jesus, don't hide. God, don't suppress or deny. God, don't numb, but are brutally honest about all that we're feeling, about all we're experiencing. God, I pray for anyone today who is feeling overwhelmed, anyone who's feeling a bit more anxious or fearful. God, I pray that your presence would come and bring peace and bring hope. God, I pray that as we're able to name all that we're feeling, God, we're able to name our fears. God, I pray that you would lead us through those fears. God, that we would find even more life. God, that as we allow everything to arise, that we would truly experience the abundant life that you desire for us. I pray that we wouldn't be a people who would be ashamed of how we're feeling. That we wouldn't feel that we should feel differently, but that we would simply be okay with exactly how we're feeling right now. So God, we entrust to you everything that we're feeling. We entrust to you all of our emotions and all of our feelings. And we pray, God, we trust that you are the God that can bring peace and hope to our situations. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So may you come to discover the peace and the comfort of Christ during this time. Grace and peace.